D Mace, 1025, 1063, the game and the Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. D Mace and I on remote today. Everybody stay safe out there. Willie Donick joins us from Phoenix, Arizona, because the red freaking hot Predators take on the Arizona Coyotes tonight. Late puck drop since we are on the West Coast, so 9 o'clock puck drop tonight. Willie, I know that you've just been shaking in your boots waiting to talk about that game on Tuesday night. You were en route traveling to Phoenix yesterday, but I mean, I said yesterday that was the most exciting finish that I have ever seen in a Predators game since I got to Nashville. Your just first initial reactions and scouting report from Phoenix.
Well, it was a special game, no question. And yeah, I hated not being on the air. We got to talk to Andrew Burnett. I don't know about this fly out early practice out here. Why would you want to get to Arizona early in the afternoon to be able to enjoy 78-degree weather, perfect sky? I get it. I get
Sounds
it, though.
horrible, doesn't it?
Yeah, but flew to Phoenix yesterday and then drove out here to Tempe, where the Coyotes play, which is still a big story, big picture for them, because they still are down to their last strike, probably in finding a new place to play that they've got to have to survive. So in the meantime, they still play at on the campus of Arizona State. But and so it'll be Roman Josi's 900th game tonight, and I think that's going to be a special moment for him. And isn't that a perfect backdrop because of the way he ended the game in his 899th game the other night against Vegas? That was such a great moment for him. It capped off, as you mentioned, a brilliant comeback against the defending champs. That was really something.
Well, it's going to be exciting, Willie, to see this team, especially after the win that they had against the Vegas Knights. How do they then follow back up? Because, as you know, playing back-to-back games like that, the hard game against the Detroit Red Wings, where they, shut the Red Wings down and were able to score a goal, and then to come back and play another game where you're down 3-0 and you have to muster up enough fight and resilience to, mount a comeback, and not just mount a comeback, but it goes into overtime and you win. So I just want to see how they come out after that game, having two tough games like that, and then going on the road.
Yes, and I'll add to that, D Mace. You've got looming on Saturday the Avalanche, who are 28-7 at home and just complete playing lights out. It's the toughest place to win in the NHL, the high altitude, the greatness of that team, etc. And so this is the classic in-between game, right? That you could have the emotional letdown. And Nashville, quite honestly, has not played well in Arizona over the years. This has always been a tough place to play. Arizona, as bad as they've been since the All-Star break, is still 19-17 at home. They've stabilized after completely cratering. So they're not playing bad hockey. This will not be an easy game at all tonight, even though on paper from afar, you'll say, well, they should beat Arizona tonight. And that is the case. They're better than Arizona, but Arizona's beaten them twice, right? They had to come from behind in the third game. Arizona easily could be 3-0 against the Predators this year. So I think there's a lot of, just like Andrew Burnett always says, there's always a big challenge every night you play in this league.
And I do want to get into the game tonight, the approach to the game tonight, not even just the game tonight, but also how do the Predators approach the rest of the season? Because at this point right now, per moneypuck.com, they've got a 99.91% chance of making the playoffs. Like they're making the playoffs. It just all has to do with seeding at this point. But I do want to look back to that game on Tuesday, because before you hopped on with us on Tuesday, Willie, Derek and I were talking about how it's a big game because it has implications either way. You win it and you find yourself in an even more comfortable position in the standings. You have solidified yourself even more in the wild card one spot, and you creep up even more on Winnipeg, who, got 1 point as they lost in overtime against Edmonton on Tuesday night. And then on the other side, it's you lose that game. That's 2 points that Vegas gets, no points that you get. And while it didn't really have implications of making the playoffs or not, it still had seeding implications. But so, besides the points and the win and loss, what do you feel like you learned about this team? Because on this 18 game point streak, We know the Predators can beat some of the best teams in the league because they've done it. I mean, they beat Colorado on this stretch. They beat Florida on this stretch. They've now beaten Vegas twice on this stretch. We know they're a good team. We know that they have the utmost belief in themselves. We know that they're feeling it in the locker room. That's obvious. But I do feel like Tuesday's game was just different. They found a different way to win, a new way to win. They came back 4-1 against the defending Stanley Cup champions. Do you feel like you learned something new about this Predators team after Tuesday night?
Well, I think if you've been watching them the whole time, you probably didn't learn a whole lot. But I do think you just mentioned the way that they won. I think there's still probably a perception, and I think we all would have made this observation about midway through the year. Do they have enough firepower to score enough? Right? They're playing hard. They have a good system, but you know, they went through a period of time where they were struggling to score, and that could absolutely happen again. But I think it was comforting to see that they do have the firepower to come from a deficit. You know, they're down 3-0, they're down 4-1. That's their biggest comeback of the year. And there was a time in the year where I probably would have said, you know, I just don't think they have enough weapons to make a comeback like that. But now I think, you know, with the addition of Zucker and some of and Beauvillier and the maturity of the way they're playing together, the consistency of that first line, I think you now, and now Roman Josi playing out of his mind, right? You have,
Out of his mind, my
yeah,
goodness.
you can come back. And this team now, if you look at offense, they've moved up into the top 12. They're 12th in goals per game. I would not have thought they would be in the upper third right when the season started. I thought, you know, if they could be in that middle third, I might take it with the goaltending they had, but now they're showing they have the ability to score.
But Willie, don't they have, isn't this a ingredient for, and I know asking you, because you're Coach Willie,
That's
so you
right.
may taper it down, but isn't this the ingredient for a championship run? The things that you're talking about, the goalie play, Roman Josi, the way he's playing, Forsberg, the way he's playing, you have secondary scoring, your line seems to be evened out. It seems like you have, you know, there's strengths to every line that you have. It's no longer a weakness. No, we're no longer talking about, well, where are we getting secondary scoring? We talked to Adam Vingan yesterday, and he talked about the numbers, expected goals against and stuff like that. They rank very high. Goals for, they rank very high in NHL right now. Now that they've been on this point streak, winning streak the last month and a half. So isn't all this an ingredient for a Stanley Cup run, dare I say that?
I think they have done a really good job of minimizing the weaknesses, improving on stuff that they weren't doing well earlier in the season. I thought Barry Trotz had another great interview with Jared on Tuesday. It's another example of why you can't miss that interview. He said, if you look at the Predators 5-on-5, they are, when the game is at even strength, they are playing really, really well. They are elite. If you look at all the numbers that way, the special teams is still maybe a slight weakness. Hal Gill's made this point about the power play, and the example was the other night when they missed the challenge, right? It was a very close call on the offside challenge, inconclusive,
Super close.
huge call on the game. If that goes the other way, we may have been talking about a comeback that fell just short, but who knows? We'll
Totally.
never know. But they got the power play as a result, and they cashed in at a huge time in the game. So their power play isn't lights out. It's kind of middle of the road, but it's good enough to where you feel like when the game's on the line, you don't have this mental baggage. Like, remember last year, it just seems like, oh, here they go. They're on the power play. Ugh. You know, there's just
Like,
that
hold on to your
sad.
hats.
Right. It just didn't feel like you're going to score. Now this power play, you know, I think they feel like they can get a big power play goal at a big time. And the penalty kill was maybe the biggest weakness for the first half of the season. It's been much, much better lately. They're getting more saves on the power play, and I think they're doing better in the penalty kill area too. So those would be the, and that's what Barry Trotz said. He said our special teams needs to continue to get better. They're trending in the right direction.
And I know that you, Willie, and you're not alone. There's probably a lot of Predators fans out there answering the question of, is this team a cup contender? It's probably a little bit of an uncomfortable one because you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves Right, you got to get in the dance and perform well in the dance before you can even talk about winning the dance as a whole. I get it. I understand. But what this team has done and what this team has shown us, I think, has the makings of what could be a really special run. But Adam Vingan joined us yesterday and he kind of broke down some of the numbers. I know you're apprehensive, Willie, but this was Adam Vingan on our show yesterday, just kind of showing the stats and the number side of maybe some teams that have gone on similar runs that the Predators are on now and what those teams ultimately ended up doing in the playoffs. This was Adam Vingan.
Well, you know, that's the question, right? And I've heard Jared talk about this quite a bit. And, you know, I would have a hard time disagreeing with him just based on how this team is playing. And I shared this information with Jared in research I was doing for work. I was looking at teams that have had point streaks at the time of 17 games or more over the past 15 years. So the Predators are the sixth team in the past 15 years, since 2008, 2009, to have a point streak of 18 games or more. Here are the other five teams and how they finished their season. The 2013 Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup. The 2022 Colorado Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. The 2019 Boston Bruins lost in the Cup final to Caroline, your St. Louis Blues. In 2018, Boston lost in the second round. 2017, Columbus Blue Jackets lost in the first round. So three of the other five teams made it to the Stanley Cup final, two won the Stanley Cup final. So based on that alone, it's hard to argue against the Predators, you know, having a legitimate chance to at least get to the Stanley Cup final. You know, they're sort of reminiscent to me lately of, I can't remember. I think it was the 2012 Los Angeles Kings, you know, a team that got into the postseason as an eight seed and then just ran roughshod over the rest of the NHL in the postseason and won the Stanley Cup. I guess if you want to use a recent example, a more recent example, you can look at last season's Florida Panthers, who were an eight seed and almost won the Stanley Cup. Although that Panthers team was supposed to be better than their record was in the regular season, they turned it on in the postseason. I can't remember a team, in recent memory at least, that had little to no preseason expectations like the Predators did entering the season and ultimately winning the Stanley Cup or getting close to it. If the Predators were to do that, it might be extreme to say unprecedented, but I can't think of a team in recent memory that had people picking them to miss the playoffs more often than not at the start of the season, turning it around and ultimately winning the championship.
I think the eye-popping stat there, and that was Adam Vingan on our show yesterday, that there have been five teams in the last 15 years that have gone on a streak like the Predators are on now, 18 game point streak. Three out of those five teams went to the Stanley Cup final, and two of those three won the Stanley Cup. Now, that's no guarantee that the Predators are going to get to the Stanley Cup final. There's no guarantee that the Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup. But Willie, do those stats make you feel at least a little bit more encouraged or a little bit more willing to admit that that could be a serious probability for the Predators?
Those are great stats. That is some good homework there by Adam coming
He
up with that.
always does great homework.
Oh yeah. Now I'll say this, okay? You know me, I'm a huge baseball fan. I'll make a baseball reference.
Happy opening day, Willie.
Oh yes, happy opening day. Mets rained out. Is this a sign of things to
That's
come?
so
Probably.
Mets.
Probably.
That is
Yes.
so Mets.
And here's our luck here. Arizona is opening, the Diamondbacks, defending NL champs, right? They're opening up tonight, not today. Like, I would have loved to go down the street and watch a couple innings, but they're playing night. Who opens up at night? Come on, open up at the day. Get the roof open. It's a beautiful day. And then we go to Colorado, hoping the Rockies are home. The
They're on the
Rockies
road.
are here. The Rockies are here in Arizona. So we got
You can't
no luck.
win.
No luck on the baseball front. But as far as Adam's stat, okay, a streak. Let's say a hitter who's a good hitter, and I'll use a guy that's from Tennessee and people will remember, Dan Uggla was not a great hitter. He was a very good player, and he had something like a 30-game hitting streak one year for the Braves, right? But that was a good player having a great streak, but was he a great player? No, it didn't make him a great player. So those teams, right, that Adam referenced, the Blackhawks, the Avalanche, who's the other one that made the final? The Bruins, the in 2019. Those were great juggernaut teams that before the season, you would have said these are Stanley Cup contenders. And this is not to take anything away from this Predator team, but they are overachieving for sure. They probably remind me a little more like that Blue Jackets team that's on that list, right? That's sort of up and coming, that everything was clicking together. It sort of surprised everybody. I think that, but it does encourage me, no question about it. I think for sure I have changed my outlook of, hey, it would be really nice if you made the playoffs and whatever happens at that point would be gravy. Now I think it's get into the playoffs. If you can keep this engine humming the way it is and continue to have a little bit of luck of keeping everybody that you have, I think you have a really good chance of doing something here. But you're gonna have to beat another team that's a great team just to get past the first round. Because it's gonna be Vancouver, Dallas, or Colorado. That's why Colorado's litmus test on Saturday out there is gonna be a great test. And that's why you can't overlook this game, because it's easy to start peeking ahead and say, "Ooh, what do they look like? What's this look like against the Avs?" My goodness.
And even easy to start peeking ahead to the postseason.
Oh yeah, if you could hit the fast forward button right now and say, just encapsulate the way they're playing right now, let's just skip the last 10 games and let's go right to it. I think you might do that if you could wave a magic wand, because in 10 games, like you said, D Mace, what do? You're not like full gas pedal, because you don't have to win every game. You know, you probably like to get a couple other guys in there a little bit. You got to get a couple guys healthy. You know, so the challenge is to continue to move forward, stay focused, and keep this magic going. Like this, keep this product intact and not have the big letdown, because the last thing you want to do is go in without this kind of momentum.
And will you bring up, look, the Predators are overachieving. And Adam brought up how he's not going to say unprecedented, but it is obviously not very common that a Stanley Cup champion would be a team that kind of some people thought maybe could squeak into the playoffs, but a lot of people just assumed, they probably won't. But that does make me wonder, how much do at least fans and how much do we think that that matters at this point? Because, right, like if there's a team that you're not even projecting to make the playoffs, it doesn't happen very frequently that that team wins the cup. And I'm not saying that the Predators are going to win the cup, but I'm just saying, how much at this point do Predators fans care about how nobody expected them to make the playoffs? Because I'm looking at these 18 games and I'm looking at that more than what I am looking at what the expectations were going into the season.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, I think, is the
My expectations
expectations
change.
are changing probably a little bit, and you can't help that. But that's a good thing, right? You're playing well.
They
I
should
think the best
change.
and the best thing, and this is again going back to Adam's thing. It's because the streaks are one thing, but also what Adam has always pointed out, and I've tried to, is that if you put the underlying numbers on there, and Mike Kelly, that clip. I don't know if you guys played that yesterday for Mike Kelly on NHL Network,
Stay tuned, that's coming.
buying the stock, right? Because the point he makes in the analytics people, and Adam watches this closely, is when you compare the Predators' analytics, forget about the wins and losses, the goals for, goals against, but also how they're going about it. They're not riding the wave of a super hot goalie, or everything that they're shooting is bouncing off of three things and going in. They deserve to have these numbers that they have, because every night the offensive possession time, the defensive lack of possession for the other team, the puck is in front of the other goalie. Like, they're putting that out there very, very consistently, and it is matching up with the elite teams in the league. To me, that's the most encouraging thing.
And that's why, Willie, I look at it and say this team can make a deep run, because it's not like nothing's outside of the ordinary. It's not like just, like Adam said, it's not like UC is doing it all. Like, he's standing on his head, and it's because of him that you're winning. And sometimes it is,
Yeah,
and
on a
it's a
given
key
night,
thing.
yeah, you need that. You
Exactly.
gotta have
But
that.
these are not 2-1 goals games, or 1-0 games, or close games where UC has to be superhuman. No, this has been a collective effort amongst everybody, and it's been consistent. That's why I believe this team has a just as good a shot as anyone else once the playoff starts of getting on a roll and really getting hot.
And I think, too, one thing that I keep in mind, because we can always say anything happens in the Stanley Cup playoffs. To a certain extent, I do think that's true. But I think what the Predators have even more in their corner, beyond just anything could happen, who knows? It's the fact that they have beaten Cup contenders. And I know once you get into the playoffs, it's different. It's a different game. The stakes are higher. You might go into it with a different mentality. Look at this Predators team. I think it's a misconception to call it a young team. Look at all of the playoff experience that this team has. When you needed goals, who came up for you? It was Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg and the guys that you've been able to count on. Roman Josi, obviously. The guys who you've been counting on all season long and the guys that once you get into the playoffs can go in saying, look, we've been here before. This stage isn't too big for us.
Yeah, that is going to help a lot. The experience they have, the belief that they have, I think they've got a lot going for them. But I would say this, as you just said, the playoffs are different. They will still be a substantial underdog, regardless of one of the three teams that they play. But that's fine. I think they're going to like that. But I do think, especially, let's say it ends up being Colorado. Colorado can rise to, they've proven they can rise to another level in the playoffs. And that's what's going to be the challenge, I think. But they won't have the deer in the headlights, I don't think, because of those veterans that they have. I'm pretty confident of that.
Also, does it hurt that Colorado has maybe the best player on planet Earth?
Oh, my God. And he is playing out of his mind right now. Out of his mind.
One texter, Chuck, says, Debbie Downer Donick says, come on, they're a contender.
I'm even keeled. I'm staying at the even keel.
Downer Donick. All right, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I want to get your thoughts on the Predators. Are the Predators a cup contender? What Adam Vinken said there, all of the statistics of three of the five teams in the past 15 years that have gone on 18-point streaks have found their way to the Stanley Cup final. It at least makes me even more encouraged about what this Predators team can do. But coming up next, I want to get into seeding. Well, Willie thinks are the best matchups for the Predators in the playoffs, because at this point, they're making the playoffs. They had a 99.9% chance of making the playoffs. They're in. It's just a matter of who they're going to play. So we'll get into that coming up next, and we are right into your phones as well. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Tender right now out there in the West.
Give me all the stock. I want all of it. I'm buying 100%. Like, look, I've talked this year about different teams at different points who've gone little win streaks or point streaks and said, you know what? Underneath, it's not looking great.
Sure.
Everything about this looks great for the Nashville Predators. Offense, defense, special teams, the whole nine yards. It's not just the results. The process is strong. And this was so gutsy coming back in this game. Obviously, the challenge, the power play was huge as a turning point. But man, even Philip Forsberg, points in 14 of his last 15 games, 26 points total. Roman Josi, get him in the Norris conversation, get him in the Hart Trophy conversation. This guy's the engine that drives the Nashville Predators. And here's what I'm talking about. Ever since this point streak started, you look at interslot shots, expected goals and goals, for and against, massive drivers of success. They are first defensively everywhere. And first, sixth, fourth, like very strong offensively as well. So it's not just them riding percentages or riding UC Soros. It's all clicking for the Nashville Predators. I tell you what, if they get in a wild card spot, whatever division winner they go up against, you can't tell me they're underdogs. This team's right there with anybody in the West.
That was NHL Network analyst Mike Kelly on the NHL Network yesterday. Caroline, Willie, Dean Mace. We are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. D. Mace and I on remote. Willie Donick joins us from Phoenix. Mike Kelly says, look, give me all the Predator stock. But if you want to buy some Predator stock, I would advise to go ahead and buy that up quickly, because I think that stock's fairly expensive at this point. But what do you make of what Mike Kelly had to say there? Because I wholeheartedly agree. It's not just UC Soros standing on his head every single night and you're just barely squeaking by against good teams. Like, no, everything seems to be clicking.
Yeah, I think he hit on the key point that I've been trying to emphasize, but he understands, and we're going to try to get Mike on the show before the playoffs start here to sort of get into some of the details of what he was talking about. He kind of ran through it real quick there, but he said, what are the indicators of a success, right? What are the most consistent things over the long haul? And maybe in a 7-game series, even though that's a smaller sample size, that's why upsets happen even in a 7-game series. If a guy does get hot in goal, or if a team does get some bounces, that's the crazy thing that drives people bananas every year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Bruins fans would be the first to raise their hand and say, oh yeah, we went through it last year. They had greatest regular season of all time. Nobody's ever been as good as they were, and they lost. They were up 3-1. They had all kinds of ways to close out the Florida Panthers, who barely got into the playoffs, and the Panthers beat them and then went on to the Stanley Cup final. But all you can do is, what are the things that you're seeing that are consistent indicators of success? Offensive zone time, keeping the other team out of your offensive zone. How many quality chances are you getting from the areas on the ice where the goals go in? In other words, if you just keep shooting from the blue line all night, you're just giving the goalie nice, easy practice. He's going to stop that every time. If you're shooting from the corner, right, the puck is not likely to go in. It's much more likely to go in if you can get inside the slot area, in between the circles, directly in front of the goalie, or complete passes from one side to the other, or get two-on-ones. Those are the things that the Predators are generating among the league's elite. So even though on paper you look at them, you're like, well, they don't really have a lot of superstar players. Yeah, they got Forsberg. Yeah, they got Yossi. Yeah, Ryan O'Reilly's a nice player. Gus Nyquist.
Playing like superstars. Mm-hmm.
But collectively, they're putting the numbers up that are the footprint of a really good team. And it's not just the 18-point game streak. Remember, they were 5-10. So if you take a look at their record since they were 5-10, they're right up there at the top of the league in one wins and losses going back to mid-November. So that's a bigger sample size than just this amazing streak that they're on right now.
No, you're right about that. I mean, you know, this team is playing great team hockey. Everyone's accountable for what they're doing. Everybody understands what they're doing. And sometimes in sports, it's better to have a collection of good players rather than one or two great players. I'm not saying that it always works well for the collection of good players over the team that has one or two great players, but the way the Nashville Predators are playing, I would match them up with any team right about now in a 7-game series, because they have a collection of really good players, or players that are playing really good right now, as opposed to teams that maybe have one or two, marquee players. I would take the collection of good players over the one or two marquee players at this point in time, the way the Nashville Predators are playing.
I think that's the great thing about hockey too, is, and this is where I think the NBA, basketball is a great team sport, as we know, but if you've got the big three or the big two, it's easier to dominate if you've got the stars at the top. It's easier to find the complementary players. When you've got a roster of 20 that you're putting out there every night, there's a little bit more of a team game to it. Like, I'm sure a casual fan would probably look at the Predators line that's playing really well right now of Mark Jankowski, journeyman, 4A player, who spent a lot of time in the minors this year. Luke Evangelista, rookie, not a huge ballyhooed rookie, not a first-round pick. And Tommy Novak, who are those guys, right? I'm sure from afar, like if it's a Colorado fan or something, going, who are these guys? Novak, Evangelista, Jankowski, we're supposed to be scared of those guys? But those guys are getting it done. Now, will they be able to get it done in a series against Colorado? That is the next question, and that is a big question. But you got to give them a lot of credit. Their numbers, their contribution has been really, really significant.
Want to get into your thoughts on the Predators. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And the question that we've been asking is, the Preds a cup contender, and how much more encouraged are you about this team after falling behind 4-1 to the reigning Stanley Cup champions and coming back to win 5-4? Want to get your thoughts on that, and our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on the line with a Preds comment. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Caroline. So here's my problem, and I don't want you to think that I'm like I've enjoyed every minute of this streak. But what I would say is, a month and a half ago, the coach was coming out and going, "These guys need to stop talking about vacation." Like that, still that team still exists. Like they're winning. They're hot. We're riding that dopamine cloud. Like everything's good. But I just want to see them lose. Like I want to see what you do after you lose, because I feel like we're riding a hot streak right now. But something's going to happen. Like, are you going to drop two or three in a row? Is it going to be at the wrong time? So I just want to see them lose. And I love them. This is a fun team to watch. It's the funnest team I've seen in like 6 years. But I've got to see them lose to see if it's real.
Adam, thank you for your call.
Adam, listen.
I honestly think that's a fair point.
Well, no, I understand
how
what
you
Adam
respond to it.
I understand where Adam is coming from, you know, because it happens not just in sports, it happens in life. When things are going so well, you're like, man, I better pump my brakes because the shoe can drop at any time, or I need to be aware of what's going on because you never know, things can change. And just because we are living this way or doing this right now, it may not be that way, you know, 5 years from now. We always give that speech to our kids, or someone is giving that to us in life. And it's the same way in sports. It's like when you're on this long win streak, and in Pred's case, this long point streak, people are like, please just lose the game. Just lose the game so we can see how you bounce back from it.
Yeah.
Well, that 1-0 game should have 1-0 against the Red Wings should have showed y'all, like, listen, this team for real, because it didn't come easy. And then the next night, the next game after that, they had to erase a 3-0 deficit. That's not easy to do. They could have packed it in. They could have said, hey, listen, we've been on this streak. It's been great. But you know what? Let's get prepared for the next game. No, they didn't. They dug deep down, as you would after a loss, and figured out a way to get it done. So I don't need to see them lose to know that, hey, this team is for real.
I think, you know, it's funny. He mentioned the 9-2 and getting called out by the coach, mm-hmm. and worried about vacation, and then the whole thing with the U2 concert and everything. I mean, it's because if I had a dime for everybody that has come up and asked me, hey, were you guys supposed to go to that U2 concert in the Sphere? Like every team, when we come in, the announcers always start with that. That's the story. That's the story around the league. It's a really interesting story. And it's hard really to know if that just locked in that team and just got them tighter. I mean, let's let the story go, right? It's become they spoke it into being, right? It worked, whatever it was, whether it actually was or just you thought it did. But here's the point in the streak that I thought was challenging, maybe what Adam was kind of throwing out. Remember the game against Montreal that they lost? They had total control of the game. They were sailing along. It was 2-0. They gave up a goal. And then all of a sudden, the next play, the guy throws it off of the stanchion. It took the craziest bounce of all time and went directly into the net. Like, there was a moment there that tested that game. And they had to kind of fight their way to get to overtime. They lost in overtime. That was the game that I thought, okay, let's see how they handle this. Because they got the adversity and, like, well, maybe they're coming back to earth. But what did they do? They just went to a next level. So I do think they've been tested a few times during the streak, and they've shown that you know, they can continue to stay strong with the things that they've got to do to be successful.
Well, as long as they, to me, as long as they continue to remember, this is the long game. It's not the short game. Yeah, we may lose a game or two before the season ends. Yeah, we may lose, but we're thinking about the long game. Yeah, we may lose a game in the playoff, but it's about the long game. If they continue to understand that it's not about the now, but it's about where we want to end up being, I think things will be fine. They're going to lose. That's just a fact. They're going to lose before the season's up. I hope they don't, but they will, I believe, before the season's up, or they will lose a game or two in the playoffs. Hopefully no more than that. But I think this team has enough resilience, have enough playoff experience, have enough experience, period, that just because they lose don't mean all of a sudden now this team can't figure it out after a loss.
Totally. But I do understand Adam's sentiment. And frankly, I don't know if I really disagree with it. that you might want to see this team get smacked in the mouth a couple times before you get into the playoffs, because we've seen how this team responds when they have gotten smacked in the mouth before. Got smacked by the Dallas Stars. Look where we are. We're talking about the Predators being cup contenders when after that game, we were talking about, all right, do you trade the goalie and do you right. sell at the deadline? Like, it was a much different conversation. Now we're talking about them being cup contenders because of how they've responded. I don't think that they necessarily, like, that they're going to be going into the playoffs all high and mighty and thinking that they're better than everyone else if they don't get smacked in the mouth. I'm just saying, we've seen how this team can respond. We know the belief that this team has in itself and within the locker room. Now, look, a little bit of adversity isn't a bad thing.
No, it's totally not. Good. It's not, but I don't care to see it. I don't care to see them lose a game. I don't want them to lose a game, period. But I'm not afraid. I'm just not afraid of this team continuing to win. I'm not. Mm-hmm. If this was a young team, you know, with a bunch of young guys, then yes, I would be sort of skeptical a little bit, or sort of just worried just a tad bit. Mm-hmm. But this isn't a team full of a bunch of first year guys or guys they just brought up from Milwaukee that all of a sudden got on a hot streak. You're talking about guys that have proven that they can play in this league, guys that have proven they are one of the best, if not the best, at their position. So because of that, and because of the coach, because of the GM, I'm not worried about this team, you know, if they don't lose a game heading into the playoffs. I'm really not, because I think they have enough to overcome a loss. Doesn't mean that they are going to win the series, but I don't think they're going to get beat, you know, 4-3 or 2-0 and then come back and not know how to win or know how to play hockey the next game. I'm not worried about that.
We have a bunch more thoughts in the text line, so we're right into those. Plus, I do want to get into, you know, we're talking about the next few games and the schedule. Adam says, look, I just want to see him lose. Preds are in the playoffs. They're in a comfortable position right now. How do you approach the rest of the season when you've already locked in at least a place in the playoffs? Where they are going to end up, we'll see. How do you approach the rest of the season? How do we approach this game tonight against Arizona? We'll get into that coming up next, and we'll get into your phones. But we also have something to give away, since we're all in a good mood because we got the Predators on this streak and they're back in action tonight. So be the first caller with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question, and you will win a pair of tickets to see those red-hot Nashville Predators take on the Boston Bruins this Tuesday night at Bridgestone Arena. 615-737-1025 is that phone number. Willie, take it away.
All right, this is game number 900 for Roman Josi tonight in Arizona. He's got 674 career points. That ranks second among active D-men in points through 900 games. So there's only one active defenseman who has more points in his first 900 games than Roman Josi. Can you name him? 615-737-1025.
Make sure to call.
I think if you know hockey, you know who this guy is. There's only one that's been better than Josi through 900 games. So really, what we're talking about here, Roman Josi is on his way to the Hall of Fame. He is tracking for the Hall of Fame because he's not slowing down anytime soon. He has been phenomenal.
He has been absolutely red freaking hot. So make sure to call in with that question. Do not text. Call in the first
yes,
person
call.
With the
Do not text.
Answer.
Do not text the text line. I know you're going to do it. I know somebody's going to do it. Look at the text line, Carolyn.
Already
I'm
have.
Sure somebody's already.
Already
done.
Have.
You can't
you can,
win.
You can.
You can't win that
but
way.
But you cannot win.
Right.
You can do whatever you want, win. But you cannot win. All right. Well, more of your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, did your brackets get busted? Well, we have another chance for
yes.
you to win with the what? Yeah, everyone's did. We got another chance for you to win with the 1025 The Game 16-team bracket challenge. So go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge and fill out your 16-team bracket to compete to win great prizes, including tickets to see Kings of Leon at Bridgestone Arena on September 26th. The 102.5 The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Twin Peaks, and Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We've got a bunch of thoughts in our text line, so unless we have some thoughts.
Let's go to the phone.
Well, and let's give the answer to the trivia question. Uh-huh.
Okay? Oh, yes, yes,
because,
yes.
The only guy that has more points, an active defenseman who had more points than Roman Josi in his first 900 games is Erik Karlsson of now the Pittsburgh Penguins, previously the Sharks, and then in the prime of his career, the Ottawa Senators, stole the Norris Trophy away from Shea Weber years ago. Just my opinion. I'm over it. I'm okay.
Did he steal it? Where was it? Was it his car? Was it in his car?
He got the vote. I don't know how he got the vote over Shea Weber.
You sure you didn't vote for him, Willie?
Shea Weber was better than him that year. But he's a great player. He is a great player. So that's the only guy. I mean, so Roman Josi is doing some pretty special things for sure. It's a Nick, I don't know if do you have the name of the winner?
Yes, sir. A first-time winner, Joseph.
All right.
He was ecstatic to win the ticket, so good for him.
All right, let's get in some of your thoughts. Logan Texan says, if Nashville catches Winnipeg, is there a chance of home ice advantage for the first round? If so, keep winning. That is one thing that I wanted to touch on is, like, you're in the playoffs right now. You're in a comfortable spot in the first wild card spot. You're only 4 points behind Winnipeg at this point. What advantage, other than just then maybe matchup, is there to catch Winnipeg? What do you have left in these next 10 games really to play for?
That is a complex question, because first, on the home ice advantage, they would have to not only pass Winnipeg, but pass either Colorado or Dallas as well to get the second place. So that's very, very unlikely. And if they pass Winnipeg, who are they going to play? It's whoever doesn't win between Dallas and Colorado. So you're still going to end up with Dallas, Colorado, or Vancouver, no matter what happens probably at the end of the season. I think those – and there's still an outside shot. Winnipeg could jump back up and win the division, but it's – but they have fallen back a little bit. So I think they're going to be in the 2-3. So I think the overwhelming probability is it's going to be Dallas, Colorado, or Vancouver. So you're not going to have home ice, and so there's – the travel is brutal to Vancouver, but I think Vancouver on paper is probably not quite the powerhouse that Colorado or Dallas is. I would rank Colorado as the most powerful team, and the toughest part is it's good travel, and they're so dominant at home, 28-7 on the year. You'd have to find a way to get at least one win, maybe more, to beat them a seven-game series out there. But it was done last year by the Kraken, so I mean, you never know.
Crazy things happen in this sport. Hair Metal Henry texts in, says the Predators are definitely putting up Stanley Cup contending numbers against bad teams, good teams, and definite playoff teams and former Cup winning teams, but it's only one game each time. Can you do it 4 out of 7, and who won't be available in the playoffs is the question. That's what makes it so difficult in the playoffs.
Right.
It's not just getting by once. You got to win 4.
Right. And so many things can happen. You know, do you lose a guy? You know, I'll never forget, you know, the Predators in 2015 had a better record than the Blackhawks. Remember 2017, they were the wild card. The Blackhawks were the number one team. Predators swept them. But they lost a couple other series to the Blackhawks. One of them in 2015, Shea Weber got hurt in the first game. He dislocated his kneecap. I'm sorry to have you cringing there, but that, I mean, it was a nasty injury, and you lost your best player in the first game of the series. So that made it tough. So and that kind of stuff happens every year. Somebody needs to be a little lucky to keep guys together, or you got to be able to win games when you're missing a key player or two. So it's just such a hard question to answer, and you can't answer it until you do it.
If you could answer it, you'd probably be making a whole lot of money.
Heck yeah.
Good. All right, Willie, you are leaving us. Have a good call tonight. What are you looking for against Arizona tonight?
I think that this is such a tricky building to win in. I think it's not going to be rocking, buzzing, right? And even if it is, it's small. It's just different playing there. So I think that's the first thing. You have to have the right mentality, not look ahead to Colorado, which is a huge litmus test on Saturday. So I think that's the number one thing. And just keep putting that product out there. What's the backbone of your team? That Andrew Burnett effect, that Bruno system. Play the system and stay focused, and you'll take the result, whatever it is.
Who's in net, Willie?
I'm going to be heading over right now to the morning skate to find out. So I think you'll probably see Lankinen in one of the games and Saros in the other. And you know how they like to do Lankinen. They like to put him up against the toughest teams in the toughest spots. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if it's Saros tonight and then Lankinen on Saturday. But we'll see.
All right, Willie D, have a good call tonight. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Willie.
All right, coming up next, switching to the NFL side of things. We all know that Jim Harbaugh's kind of a weirdo, kind of a kooky man. But nobody can deny that he's an incredibly smart man. And we'll explain coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3, the game this week for NCAA tournament coverage. Sweet 16 starts tonight, and it's brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com.